Good morning again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. The joy I have of traveling and going around to different people and seeing the development of the Lord Jesus in some of those people is beyond expression. I meet people that I've known for many years, and they have grown in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. What's the secret? What's the secret of a satisfied Christian life? Well, the secret is discovered very simply in the Word of God and traveling in the Word of God, staying in the Word of God, and always reading the Word of God, always. Start reading sometime in the morning, and during lunchtime you can read the Word of God. And in the evening, find time to read the Word of God, and before bed or in bed, read the Word of God. Now, it doesn't have to be massive stretches. It doesn't have to be a whole book. It doesn't have to be a whole letter even. But it does have to be sensibly divided so that you can understand. You're reading the book of life, and that life will see you through to the end of the time that you will be in eternity. This is eternal life, and we know it's eternal life because God gives it to us. The joy of eternal life is enormous because there is nothing quite like it. Nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can destroy it. It's yours. The gift of God is eternal life. And you may live that eternal life for the rest of eternity. Rest of eternity? I can't. There's no clock made, no watch or contraption put together that can tell us how many years and hours and so on that means. It is eternal life. And when we leave this life on this earth, we step out into the mystery, in a sense, of eternal life, and we go into the eternal things, and we know that we are forever with the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul said, when you get to understand this, comfort one another with it, because we're always hearing of people dying, people being so damaged in their lives, so absolutely hurt. And we hear of people who are offended and won't let the offense go away. And so on and on and on it goes. And so we have a dreadful sort of attitude toward life. But Jesus said, if anybody has hurt you, forgive that person. And Peter said, well, that's very well. How many times shall we do it? Seven times? Jesus simply said, no, 70 times 7, that's 490. And I'll guarantee you, if you come to the 498th time you're forgiving that person, you will have forgotten what the original upheaval was all about. Jesus was most careful. Now let's see Jesus coming out of Jerusalem, going down onto the beach, challenging the life of Peter, and saying to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Challenging the life of Thomas, and saying to Thomas quite bluntly, you know, I'm glad you've seen me, I'm glad you've touched me. I'm glad you've had this experience. However, blessed is the person who has not seen me, not touched me, but has believed in me and has believed the words that are spoken about me and has believed what is written in the holy word of God. Blessed. That means literally, spiritually prosperous is the man who will believe in me. In other words, Thomas, if you want to continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, you better stay close and you best get yourself organized so that you can remember the Lord's death until he come. Now, we sometimes say all sorts of platitudinal things and they sound very good. But the mark of the person that is alive in Jesus is the mark that shows that the word of God is engraved on the fleshy tablet of the heart of that person. Have you had any engraving done lately? Have you had anything written in your heart recently? Oh, dear friend, come to the place where you cast your crowns before you. You fall upon your knees and pray and say with great love, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And worship God Almighty, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, for they are the Trinity and they are the one remarkable person, because it's not easy to understand what a Trinity of life is. But that is the Trinity in a nutshell, and it's that Trinity that brings us to the place where we cast our crowns before us. Look at Thomas when he throws himself on the ground. He says, "My Lord, my God, how stupid I am. How utterly ridiculous I've become that I would not believe you." And Jesus says, well, get on with living a life. Get a life. So many Christians don't seem to have this life. And so many Christians have some sort of organized law of life that doesn't exist in the Bible. But there are things in the Bible that are massive. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, a place that we don't often go for the gospel, God is talking through Moses to Israel. And he says in the 33rd chapter, these words, "The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee." I am quite sure, because I've lived a long time, that you have had all sorts of things go wrong in your life somewhere, and you must turn all of this over to the Lord Jesus. Now, it's all very well for me to say that, but unless I've done it, I shouldn't even start to say it. And I have. It's the most amazing thing how God brings his blessing upon us. And Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And that's chapter 33 of this Deuteronomy. Can you bless your children before you die? Can you bless your family before you die? What is it you can bless them with and make them spiritually prosperous? What is it that you can possibly do that will bring them to the place where they will cry out, "My Lord, my God," where they will say, you know everything about me, my past, my present, my future, and you know I love you. Have you said recently to the Lord Jesus, "I love you"? So we need to get our ducks in a row, as it said, and we need to understand that God is looking to bless us, and he is provoked to jealousy if we go to strange gods. So avoid that, because his anger is horrible and you don't want to get into that. And I would recommend to you, read the last 10 chapters of Deuteronomy. And it is outstanding what God is saying to the people. He says over and over again things like that he is the fire that will set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them. You know, we don't think about this, but if you read the local press in the states where we have said we must not curb the presence of, for instance, wolves, bears, cougars. We mustn't do that. Why, there's been such a growth of these animals and so many more than there used to be that you're a very unfortunate person if you leave your child outside the house to play. And you're a very silly person who doesn't check on them about every 5 minutes. You're a very unworthy parent if you're not listening to every gurgle, every delight, and every scream of terror. Because these animals are digging their teeth in. And we don't think of that. We just say, "Boy, we're going to have a new hunting season." Well, count me in. I love to hunt. But my dear friends, this is what God has said, because sin has racked the church and is racking the lives and wrecking the lives of many people. And as you go through this part, you find that God is saying, in these last 10 chapters, of course, the whole thing needs to be read. God is speaking, and he gives over the direction of Israel to Joshua. When they land in Joshua's lap, it's because Moses has been taken up into heaven, and the eternal God is thy refuge underneath of the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. I like this sort of thing, because as I read the word of God, I know that I have a champion in heaven who, in spite of my frailty and weakness and propensity to sin, will fight for me. I shall be delivered. And the deliverance is colossal. I don't know what your experience has been in the last week, but I'm quite sure that there has been some things that have taken place. Somebody's said something to you. Somebody's hurt you with an exchange of words. They didn't need to do it, but they did it anyway. And they were cruel in what they said and what they did. And you were undermined, and you were sort of flabbergasted and hurt. And your spirit was hurt. How do you get that repaired? Just quietly go to the everlasting arms that are underneath and all around. Just go to those wonderful, wonderful arms that hold you up. And understand that God is your refuge underneath of the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. So you're being attacked by Satan. Turn it over. Turn the whole situation over to the Lord Jesus, the whole situation, including your resentment. And talk to the Lord Jesus about it, and then leave it at his feet, walk away, and get on with your life. And you will suddenly understand that God has given you new life. It's called everlasting life, we all know that, but it's more than just a saying, it's more than just a hope. It's more than just something that passes by. It's more than something the Sunday school teacher told us about. It is more than anything we can imagine. I am alive today because God gave me life. That's physical. I am alive forever. Because Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead and gave me life. That's spiritual. Now, what have I done with these two things? Have I used the life on earth to honor and to create beauty for the Lord Jesus? To bring people to see the loveliness of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Years ago, I earned my way through life as a sort of artist. Mostly it was calligraphy and that type of thing. Most of the Kellogg's cornflakes boxes went across my desk, and I had to do all the handwork with the lettering and that sort of thing. It was very mundane in some ways, but it was tremendously satisfying to me. Ever-ready batteries, the cartons that they're in, were most of the lettering was done by me, and then Lindt chocolate was done by me. And so it went on, and there's lots of things. Chanel 5 crossed my desk, and the best one of all, of course, was when we got into Fifth Avenue Fashions, which was in Regent Street, London. I got into doing all the wording for that, and so it went on, and the sketches, and I made money doing it. And then I had to go in the army. Well, I've not really touched that work since. And yet I have a great desire sometimes to pick up my brushes and pencils and go to work. And I'm hoping that shortly I shall be able to do just that. Because it's so satisfying, so absorbing. And there is nothing left outside. And people can't say you're clever, and people can't say that you're wasting your time. You're producing something that is very beautiful. If you're an artist, you want to show something and I would love to be able, I've thought about this for years, I would love to be able to represent on canvas the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And men and women walking into that glory, into a glorious, I don't know how you really paint glory. Is it a bright yellow gold? Is it a white, bright yellow gold? I don't know. How do we make the glorious everlasting life glorious whilst we're here on earth and we've never seen and we've never really understood what Jesus was talking about? But I have life. And it's called eternal life. And were I an artist that could put that onto canvas, I would be delighted to show everyone, look, here is a poor picture of everlasting life. Oh, some of the old painters of the 1500s mostly, I suppose, did some most glorious painting. Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Rembrandt, and so on. These people were able to capture the mood, the atmosphere. One of my favorite artists is pretty obscure, really, but he did a lot of Western art. Beautiful, beautiful. And he captured the song of Marty, whatever his name is. The cattle were roaring through the sky. And he capitalized it beautifully. He caught it and so on. And every once in a while an artist comes through. He's caught something remarkable. I've forgotten the artist's name, but he painted a painting and it's just called The Letter. And a woman is cast at the feet of her husband. And she's looking up at the husband whose head is bowed in his hands. And the letter lays between them on the floor. Now, you can imagine all kinds of things in that. But what you do see is the poverty of a stricken couple. Why don't you and I make a little agreement? We will read the word and we will allow God to remind us that we belong to the household of God. We are saints. And we belong to the people who are called saints of God. And why don't we, in that way, approach the Word of God and start enthusiastically reading. Reading the old, reading the new, doesn't matter. Which testament we take. The Book of Psalms is wonderful. So I just encourage you with these precious words. Look at them again. It's found in Deuteronomy 33. And it's underneath are the everlasting arms. Wonderful, isn't it? The eternal God is thy refuge. Oh, and underneath the everlasting arms, he keeps me, holds me, he will not let me go. Jesus quietly said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will always be with you. Isn't that exciting? Well, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, just show us today how we may open our hearts to the everlasting life and that we may live it to its full. and that Jesus may be glorified. Please, Lord, in our lives. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Bye-bye.